weekly report is the Eagle News, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted.
30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown. Matt Ware.
He stepped up, he's hit, and falls forward. And he fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it.
It's good. And the Eagles win.
It's all birds. All the time.
And welcome to another edition of the AT Birds Weekly Report. We are going to be doing another basically half and half show, breaking down, recapping the Eagles 5-0. They're 5-0. Recapping the victory over the Los Angeles Rams. And then we will be previewing the upcoming game against the New York Jets. So I myself, Johnny Aleka, as always, joined by Chip at Chip for the Birds at Empire Stories. Chip, how are we doing?
Nine more, Topper.
Yeah, I know you're in your baseball mode, but again, this is a football show, so we'll be talking football.
All right, I'll do what I can.
And the big thing is, hey, the Eagles are 5-0. I think every single week they are getting better and better in terms of the way they're executing the offense. I think that's one main important thing that we're starting to see, that we were a little concerned early the first couple of games, working the kinks out, you know, a little rust off everything, but it seems like they are getting better and better. Of course, they still need some improvements, red zone offense, certain things that they have to improve upon. But again, it's to have the weapons that they have. Finally, Dallas Goedert has over 100 yards.
Sure does.
Of course, Devontae Smith only has 6 yards on one catch, but again, we will live with it. They come out on top and they are 5-0. Oh, I got ahead of myself there. But Jalen Hurts is 22-1 in his last 23 regular season games, and he is 21-2 combined since the playoff loss, the wild card game against Tampa Bay Bucks. That's, of course, including the postseason of last year. But hey, it's great. This is a run that we haven't seen in quite some time, since probably the Andy Reid days, in terms of somewhat close to how good they've been in the last how many games.
Yeah, I mean, this Eagles team, I mean, they are starting to click on the right, all the right buttons. And the thing is, you know, you heard them all say early on, you don't want to peak in September, you don't want to peak in October, and that's absolutely true.
You don't want to peak in high school, you know,
certainly. Like, you don't want to peak in high school, right? Exactly. But again, I mean, they went into basically a home game because nobody cares about the Rams in Los Angeles. Let's just call it like it is. And they shut down the most dominant player in defensive player in the NFL, and Aaron Donald. He was useless. I mean, we did it with a backup guard.
And we will get to that later when we get to Uleka Locks, because I know you're a little excited.
Finally got one. I'm off the offer. You know, and you look at it, they scored 23 points against a pretty solid defense. Cooper Kupp came back and ended up having himself a day, which was great
having
for him.
A half, really, if you really
he did. And then they made adjustments and they were fine. I mean, this Eagles team overall, they were the better team on paper, and they went ahead and proved it. You know, is Jalen Hurts absolutely responsible for too much of the offense still, in my opinion? Sure. I mean, you look at him and he had 38 dropbacks and 15 carries besides that. I mean, he was responsible for 372 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. So, again, they're utilizing him a ton. I would like to see more of the running game. I would like to see less of him being a part of the running game. But here's what it comes down to, and this is the way this whole team feels. It's whatever it takes to win. So, you know, you mentioned that Dallas Goedert absolutely went off. You mentioned that AJ Brown went off again, and that Devontae Smith had one catch for 6 yards. You know what? There is not a single person in that Eagles locker room that is upset by those numbers, even Devontae Smith.
No, you're right. And, you know, there's a lot to like when you watch this game. I know they should have scored over 30 points. And, you know, I know Adam's all happy about his Phillies, which
nine more topper,
you know, but it's just, there's the good and the bad. And of course you're going to still have that early in the season. And this is a week to week league. So you can't discredit the LA Rams are 2-3 now, but still you have to look at it.
And nobody in the West is very good. So
no. And, but you also have to look at it this way. They still have a good quarterback in Matthew Stafford. They still have Cooper Kupp that came back and Puka Nacua, and they, you know, Tutu Atwell, they have some good players, but again, this is an Eagles team that thrives on winning, and they can win anyway. And, you know,
sorry, I just love that Adam is riling you up from the comments.
Listen, he can get ahead of himself too. They haven't won anything yet. and you know, when you look at this Eagles team and you look at this, basically what they're doing offensively. And I think one thing that you really see is they're able to just grind it out and just wear you down. They've had a couple of games with over 37 minutes of time of possession, and they're able to run the ball. They're able to go 12, 13, 14, 15 plays and do it a multitude of ways. And there are some big, big time plays in this game. And, you know, Jalen was throwing the ball pretty well, you know, hitting Goddard. AJ Brown on that 32-second drive to score a touchdown at the end of the half, which I thought was absolutely crucial.
That drive was incredible.
You know, later on in the game, there was some big plays. You know, Kenny Gainwell, that third down catch that he was able to avoid, I think it was like a 3rd-and-6 or a 3rd-and-7, able to avoid the tackler and get that first down. I think those are huge things, you know, with the Eagles, that a lot of people, it's the little things, the details. And that's huge. When you look at winning games, it is in the details. It is in the situational football. But I think the one thing is the red zone offense, they have to get better at, because mm-hmm. when you're playing the better teams, the Dolphins, the Bills, the 49ers, the Cowboys, all those teams, you need to be able to position yourself in the red zone offense to be able to score touchdowns and not come away just field goals, which they rank 27th in red zone offense. Now, a little bit of that is skewed because there have been a couple possessions where they were in the red zone, but then they just basically ran it out. So it's
right.
But again, they still have to get better. That's one key component that I think that they have to get better at.
And I look, there has been an overwhelming amount of media attention on this brotherly shove situation. And you have guys from just about everywhere weighing in on the legitimacy of the play and the effectiveness of the play and whether or not we should be allowed to do it and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I actually, now I'm starting to think that they are starting to overuse it. So the one time they ran it on a 3rd-and-2, that was, it felt like it was like a 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-4 almost. And they still ran it. And again, I'm not saying that they're not going to get it. But when you mention how many times we are running it, you mention how much attention it's getting. I mean, it is literally one of the major questions that the Jets have been asked about already. And he goes, look, it's tough to stop, but we're going to have 11 guys kissing the quarterback. Like, that's a situation where Jalen Hurts has the ability to not get hurt. Now you've got other guys saying, like Jason Kelce said on his podcast, he said, you know, you're going to have guys starting to fake injuries just so that more people will say that it's not a safe play. I want us to expand the offense a little bit. With that being said, we said in the preseason that Jalen Hurts is really the one running back one of this team. And I would not be surprised, as more teams are starting to get decimated by the injury bug, if we start to see some of the guys that we thought might be bigger contributors traded away in the next week or so.
Yeah. You know, I saw that clip too of him saying that, and you know, that is something that is a possibility, because you do see it a lot with, you know, when teams run the hurry up offense and, you know, players going down and stuff like that. So definitely something that I could see happening in the future. But again, because the Eagles do it so well. It's not a play that, like, you're not going full force. It's just basically you're just pushing guys. Like, people really don't get hurt, and they haven't gotten hurt on just the regular quarterback sneaks over the years, which is essentially almost the same thing, except for there's not a guy or two pushing you from behind.
You know, it's a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. It is a quarterback sneak, which is why I don't know why it's getting all of this extra attention, other than the fact that It's the Eagles running it, and no one can stop it.
Yeah. It just comes down to that. Eagles are better than everybody else when it comes to.
And if you have a legitimate problem with it, stop it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But until you do, I mean, that's what bothers me the most. They're saying, oh, it's an unfair play. Why? Why is it an unfair play? Simply because you can't stop it? So then go through the laundry list of things that were unstoppable. An Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary was almost unstoppable. Tom Brady 2-minute drive, a Justin Tucker field goal. These are things that are unstoppable, so therefore they should be banned, right?
Yeah.
An Aaron Donald rush of the quarterback.
Well, unless he's playing the Eagles where he –
in which case he has never, ever gotten a sack.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think another thing when you look at, you know, this Eagles team, I think one thing that watching this game on Sunday, what they did – defensively, they struggled early on. They had Mario Goodrich in the slot. They had Eli Ricks in the slot. They were trying, you know, doing some different things. You know, Bradley Roby came a little bit later in the game and played in the slot where he did look to
he
be
played well.
He did play well for somebody who was, you know,
not just, on the team just, 3 days ago.
Yeah, just signed. So I think that's huge when you look at that. But it's Sean Desai and the adjustments that he made at half because the Rams had, I think, 102 yards. Now, of course, they got some yards at the end of the game when, you know, but it's still, they had 102 yards after halftime and didn't score a
point. But how nice is it that we have a defensive coordinator who can see what's going on? And what was that word he used? Adjustments.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that. I mean, we have not seen that in the last 4 or 5 seasons, minimum.
No, we haven't. And, you know, it's really nice to see. And I think what I really like is the, you know, he disguises the defense. He'll throw a blitzer in here and there. He'll do delayed blitzes and certain things along the lines of that, which I love to see. But and you have to give him a lot of credit because he is playing with a lot of injuries. And there's against Washington, he played with Terrell Edmonds, the third safety, as a starter. You know, playing without Reed Blankenship against the Bucs and playing without Avante Maddox now. Playing without
Nakobe Dean, who was supposed to be the signal caller of his defense, is just about to come off injured reserve. Playing this past weekend without Fletcher Cox, who is a mainstay on this defense. I mean, there are definitely things that he has faced that are not easy necessarily to come back from, but he's figured it out.
Yeah, and I think another big thing too is, you know, you look at this defense and what the youth that they have. You know, Jalen Carter. Yep. We know again another stellar game.
Oh man, that kid is good.
Yeah, he's very good. And another thing that I loved that I saw at the end of the game, those two big crucial sacks by Hassan Reddick. I think he's starting to get his groove back. The cast has been off for 2 weeks now, so he's starting. You know, get himself back into the groove of things, which of course they need with the pass rush.
Sure do.
Definitely great to see. And again, another thing, the last thing I want to bring before we head over to talking about the Jets game and the matchup, the preview with that is the fan base. Unfreaking believable.
Man, they travel.
How they travel and they took over that stadium again. And it's
is there some sort of trip this weekend where the Eagles might be taking over another stadium?
That definitely could be the we will be going with Philly Sports Trips to see the Eagles and the Jets at MetLife Stadium, which will bring us to this now. And
Johnny, we have gotten pretty good at this.
We have a little bit. But it should be fun. I'm going to enjoy myself with that. It's going to be a very, you know, awesome time. But the Eagles play the Jets. Now the Jets are 2-3. They have struggled this season. Of course, they've had a lot of issues in terms of some injuries. They've had a lot of some oddities, if you want to call it. But, you know, Zach Wilson is their quarterback right now. The one thing that they do have a pretty good running back in Breece Hall. I know Dalvin Cook is there, but Breece Hall kind of is.
Dalvin Cook has shown very much that there is no tread left on those tires.
Yeah. And
I was just like speaking like from a fantasy perspective, I was very excited to pick him up. And I thought he was going to be great with Aaron Rodgers. Man, there is nothing left on those tires.
No, there isn't. And the one thing with the Jets, Yeah, they have Garrett Wilson as well. Their offensive line has taken a little bit of a hit in the recent weeks. Their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, was put on IR, I think, 2 weeks ago. So he is out. They moved their right tackle, Mekhi Becton, over to left tackle, then moved their right guard over to right tackle, then a rookie in the right guard, and then with Joe Tippmann at right guard. And then Elijah Vera Tucker, the right tackle, got hurt last week, tore his Achilles, out for the year. So now they're going to be shuffling, and they'll have a new right tackle. Either Max Mitchell or Billy Turner will be put in there. So a lot of shuffling on their offensive line, and that will bode some problems when you look at the Eagles' defensive line. But you can't discredit the Jets. They have a heck of a defense. They have a very stout defense. So that's nothing to, nothing to say, hey, you're going to be able to run all over them. I think the one thing that you need to do is create the pressure on Zach Wilson and make him make mistakes.
Yeah.
Then the game becomes, you know.
So to me, this game was always about quarterback play, even when it was Aaron Rodgers. And you look at the players that the Jets brought in. And I was actually really high up on the Jets this year when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. Because, again, you had the defending rookie of the year in both offense and defense with the Jets, with, you know, Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. You also have Breece Hall, who had a monster season right up until his injury. And, you know, you saw last week him starting to come back out of it. But they added players like Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mecole Hardman. I mean, these are guys that are really good receivers in this league. You've got two pretty decent tight ends in Tyler Conklin and C.J. Uzoma. But they don't have an offensive line, which means our strength of play, once again, is our defensive line. And if we get any pressure on Zach Wilson, this team is toast. You look at the defense. Yeah, they do have a pretty good defense. I think, you know, one of your receivers is going to be shut down because of the fact of Sauce Gardner, and he is that prototypical shutdown corner. But I don't really think that, you know, Quincy Williams is going to do a whole lot. I don't think that, you know, Jordan Whitehead's a pretty good safety, but Tony Adams is not. DJ Reed, not these guys are questionable. Brandon Echols, he's questionable. You have a lot of injuries, and we have proven that our offensive line can slow down pretty much anybody. So while Quinnen Williams is a beast, he's no Aaron Donald. While CJ Mosley is very, very good, he's not going to be able to stop, you know, Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith and DeAndre Swift and Jalen Hurts. I mean, there's not enough on this Jets team. Remember, they kind of came back in week one after getting an injury to Aaron Rodgers, but they've been very pedestrian at best the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I think the one thing with them is if you can stop their run game, which the Eagles have proven this year that they can stop the run, it's going to put the load on Zach Wilson's shoulder. And listen, it's you make him beat you, and he's shown you this year, especially this year, he will make mistakes. And if he throws you interceptions, you're getting short fields against the Jets defense, and you continually, and what the Eagles have been good at, like I mentioned earlier, keeping the opposing defenses on the field, wearing them down the time of possession. By the second half, they're on the field for over 30 minutes already, and the Eagles just continually, you know, just impose their will on these teams.
And think about, you know, and I know that Javier is saying, you know, let's not sleep on the Jets. Remember what happened last year? Yeah, I do remember. But if you kind of look,
the Eagles have never lost to the Jets.
But number one, the Eagles never lost to the Jets. I'm not one to, you know, bring up that statistic. But again, whatever, you know, again, they beat Buffalo in a game which was emotionally based in overtime. They got slapped around by Dallas in one of Dallas's few wins where they're like, oh, look how good we are, but we know they're not. New England has been terrible this year. They barely lost to them. Fine. Kansas City, they put up a fight with, and then they beat a Denver team that is atrocious. This Jets team, I think that 2-3 record is misleading at best.
Yeah, it may be a little bit misleading, but listen, it's just,
It's any given week. We know that in the NFL, it's any given week. I just don't think that the way that the Eagles are kind of firing on all cylinders, I find myself not very concerned about this game, because it would require some serious chaos for the Eagles to lose this game.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's something where, you know, they're going to MetLife. It's not like they've never been there before. They know that place. They know that stadium. You know, they're not going to be looking ahead. They're not the type of team that will do that.
They're not, but I do want to get out of MetLife safely, because that field is a joke. So that we can be full strength for Miami the following week.
Yeah. The return of the Kelly Greens. But, you know, for me, it's just, you know, I take a look at this Jets team, and I know you don't want to sleep on them. And I understand that. And I know you look at the defense, and there's certain players and everything. You still have to be aware of Quinnen Williams and CJ Mosley and Quincy Williams and Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. They said they have a good defense. But the way you beat them is you make Zach Wilson turn the ball over. You get short fields. You cash in on it. You get up early. You get up ahead. You get yourself a comfortable lead. And that's where, to me, it's easy then at the end to be able to run the ball and control the clock and to be able to do what you got to do. Because what happens is, if you get up a couple score lead and there's no sense for them to be even run the ball, because if you're down, you're going to need to throw the ball. And that is their weakness right now, because Zach Wilson has shown to be able to turn the ball over. And, you know, for the Jets, the Denver game last week, you know, they won, but late in that game, the Broncos were driving until Russell Wilson scrambled out, fumbled it, and they picked it up, scooped and scored. And then the game was over. But listen, the Denver was still in that game, and we know how bad Denver is. They're so lost in terms of everything, every aspect, which is fine by me, because I can't stand Sean Payton. So for me, it's whatever. But I just think you take it game by game. You know, the first game of the year when they lose Aaron Rodgers, you know, Josh Allen keeps them in the game because he turns the ball over four times.
Correct. So
that's the one thing. And you know, the last couple of weeks, Jalen has been throwing some interceptions, and you just something they have to clean up. I know a couple of the interceptions, two of them the last 2 weeks, were incredible catches by the defensive back. But sometimes it isn't really what should have been thrown at that point. So you can't turn the ball over and give the Jets extra opportunities and help them out. That's my big thing. But again, I don't see that happening. I do want to get into predictions, and then we'll get into our Uleka locks and then wrap this up. But when we're looking at predictions, last week, I'm going to give you were the closest. You had 27-13 Eagles,
and it's not bad.
23-14. So, I'll give you your little clap, golf clap on that one.
Thank you, sir.
But this week, the way I look at when I'm looking at the predictions and taking a look at this game, for me, it's like I said, I think the Eagles get out early, get a 10-point lead early, and then kind of coast the rest of the game, be able to run the clock and be able to kind of control the game a little bit. I've got the Eagles winning this 27-16. And I think late in the game, you know, the Jets score a touchdown and then, you know, make it look a lot closer than it really was. But I got 27-16. Eagles go to 6-0, waiting for that Sunday night matchup against the high-powered Dolphins offense.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, you know, kind of saying that the Eagles will explode at the beginning and kind of coast to the end. I just think even with the coasting, I have the Eagles winning this game 30-10. I think that our offense is too strong, and we have so many ways of scoring. And our defense is too good for a mid to bottom level tier quarterback in Zach Wilson to beat us. Now, I'm not saying that confidently. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm saying this factually. The Eagles are a drastically better team than the New York Football Jets.
Wow, you went New York Football Jets. You didn't go J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets.
Why would I? They have, listen, and I feel for the Jets fans. And, you know, when this game went on their schedule, I was so excited for it because I thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to make this a good game. I know that's why, you know, Philly Sports Trips was really hyping this one up and why it sold out as quick as it did, because the opportunity to see a Hall of Famer. As soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, this Jets team is going to be lucky to break 500.
I think, well, there's no, you can't break 500 anymore unless you tie.
That's why I said break 500. They're either going to be above it or below it.
They're going to be 9-8.
I think they don't, I don't think they're really.
No.
I think they'll be 7-10 at best.
Yeah. It's tough for them. And it's, you know, it's tough for their head coach, you know, Robert Saleh. I like him as a person, and everything, but I'm not sure if he's head coach material. He may be just a defensive coordinator. Very, very, very
but
good.
He's going to get another shot next year because it's all going to come down to the fact of Aaron Rodgers was not playing this year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You build a team around Aaron Rodgers. You go out and you get Alan Lazard. You go out and get Randall Cobb. You go out and get these guys that are Aaron Rodgers guys. You go out and you bring in Nathaniel Hackett. You bring in Aaron Rodgers guys only to lose Aaron Rodgers four plays into the season. I don't think it's a fair assessment of what Robert Saleh is, and I think that he will get at least one more year no matter what happens this year.
No, I think you are right. And now, did their predictions? And now we're ready for...
It's time for the Rebecca Locks of the Week. Who's your lock?
So I will let you take the stage here, even though I did get mine right as well.
Can we talk about our locks from last week and share what we have?
You finally popped your cherry lock.
that was gross.
So I'll let you talk about yours. What did you have in terms of your Rebecca lock?
I had Jalen Carter out sacking Aaron Donald, which he did by a score of 2-0.
That is good. And that, you know, that is a good one because if you look at the history with Aaron Donald,
you didn't
look at the history.
Nope. I looked at the fact that our offensive line was going to stop Aaron Donald. I figured it was going to be more in the 2-1 range, but for us to pitch a shutout, that's awesome.
But so now this brings you are 1-4 in Rebecca Locks. I am 2-3. Hopefully I can hit the 500 mark this week. But I had Puka Nacua being held under 100 yards. Luckily, Cooper Kupp came back and got the 100 yards. Nacua only got 71, so I was right on there. But this brings it to this week and the Rebecca Locks. And I'm going to give this to you, Chip. Since you got your first one right, let you start out this week.
So there are some fun games in the NFL this week, and I don't know if this is going to be right or if I am just speaking it into existence because I need it to happen for fantasy purposes. But with Anthony Richardson on the shelf on injured reserve, with Jonathan Taylor now back and Zach Moss still playing and showing out a little bit, I do think that Jonathan Taylor is going to do everything in his power to help Gardner Minshew, which is hysterical to me. But I have Jonathan Taylor over 75 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, JT. Over what?
Over 75 yards rushing because, again, he's going to struggle still trying to get back up to game speed. And 2 touchdowns. I'm not sure which way he'll get them, passing or rushing.
2 touchdowns. We'll go with
2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I think the Colts team is something. Like, I know Anthony Richardson, their quarterback, everything. But I'm just gonna say this: don't sleep on them. I know Minshew's there. He's a good backup to play a couple games. But listen, they got the Browns, the Saints, the Panthers, the Patriots coming up. Don't be surprised if late in the season you take a look at them and you see them either in first or second place in that AFC South.
Which, again, is a very bad division.
Mm-hmm. And they have a good offensive line.
And Gardner Minshew is the ultimate game manager. Yeah. And the added incentive of, remember, they're playing the Jaguars this weekend. If you don't think there's just the slightest bit of, I want to beat my old team, come on now.
No, you are correct. And this will bring me to my Rebecca Lock. And this one may be just an easy one, but I'm going to go with the Panthers-Dolphins matchup. I feel bad for Miles Sanders going from a Super Bowl team to a 0-5 team. Going to be 0-6 team after Sunday. I think the Dolphins, and I will go with Tyreek Hill, will have over 100 yards. Of course, he'll score a touchdown as well. And the Dolphins will win by 3 scores.
Oh, so it's a 3. It's a 3-tier.
For 3-tier, but I'll only get 1 if I get it. See, I'm just trying to make up for all the losses I've had earlier in the year. So I will write this, Tyreek Hill.
100 yards.
Over 100 yards, a touchdown, and they will win by 3 scores.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers team is so bad. They are so, so very bad.
And I think the funniest thing was that they're looking for a number one receiver. You know, they did trade DJ Moore to the Bears.
And they signed Adam Thielen, who was never a number one receiver.
So I don't know what they're doing there. And, of course, with the trade deadline coming up at the end of this month, of course, we will talk maybe in an episode or two before the deadline, unless the Eagles make a deal or make a trade about some potential targets. But I think this year is going to be a pretty active deadline because of when you take a look at, you know, before we wrap up, I just want to run this quick thought. When you look at the upcoming NFL draft, the quarterback position is key. We know that when it comes to drafts, we've seen it 4 or 5 quarterbacks go in the first round or 5 or 6 in the first 2 rounds. We know the quarterback position is a key component of the NFL draft. And when you have guys like Drake May and Caleb Williams coming out, Shadur Sanders possibly coming out, you have Michael Penix, you have all of these guys. There's a number of highly touted quarterbacks coming out. And when you pair that with a handful of teams that are looking for quarterbacks, whether to replace the current guy or whether to get their guy, it's a recipe for teams to then unload some veterans that they know aren't going to be back the next year, or try to get some more draft picks, ammunition to move up in the draft. And I think that is very, very key when you look at this trade deadline, because there are a number of players where, one, teams can get multiple assets for, and two, teams know that they're not going to be with them the next year, either they're rebuilding or whatever that may be, and, you know, wanting to unload. Plus, there are coaches that have quarterbacks in place that have just been hired that want to have their own guy that they pick. So there's a lot of things there, and that's why I think there's going to be a pretty active deadline. And we've seen already a handful of trades happen within the last couple weeks. So it's only going to get, only going to get more frantic. And it's going to me, I like trade deadlines. I'm happy the NFL is starting to get into a little bit more of a trade deadline frenzy type of thing, because I think it really adds
For the longest time, they made a big deal like, oh, you don't trade people in the NFL. And it was during the season, the off season, it was a different story. But I mean, I think you're starting to see that the teams that are, you know, 2-3 wins, they're going to stick around for a while. The teams that are at, you know, 0-1 wins, I mean, you could see the Vikings trading a bunch of players away because, you know, Justin Jefferson is on IR. So it's not like they're getting better.
Plus, Justin Jefferson doesn't have a contract extension, which he wants. So
correct. So he's not going to be in a rush to get back. You're going to see the Broncos trading players away. They've made it very, very obvious that they are not a quality football team, and they have some good players on their defense that could get some good returns. I think that the Eagles, you know, we have guys, we actually have a wealth of couple of positions. So I could see us trading away Rashad Penny, who has just not been terrific. He hasn't had much of a chance, but he hasn't been terrific. You know, the DeAndre Swift thing kind of fell into our lap. I think that maybe we try to trade away like a Quez Watkins if possible, because we do have all those wide receivers and they're trying to get something. You could see a Derek Barnett. I mean, we have some players that we could trade away. I don't necessarily want to see it, but we do need help in the secondary. Take that for what it is.
There's certain things. And, you know, quickly taking a quick look, we know, you know, the Bears, what are they going to do? Justin Fields, everything. There's a lot of question marks there because The Bears also have the Panthers pick in the first round. So right now they have picks 1 and 2 as everything lines up. You know, you look at the Broncos, Russell Wilson's not going to be there forever. And I'm not sure that Sean Payton really wants him as their quarterback. Now they may be stuck with him for one more year, but again, there's another team. You already talked about Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. He's probably not going to be there next year. A team like the Patriots, what's going on with Mac Jones? Like, that's another thing where
that is time is running wild.
Out. You know, the New York Football Giants, you know, you have Daniel Jones now with an injury here. Plus also they paid him all this money and they're not performing. So again, there's another thing there. The Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray. I don't see Kyler Murray staying with them anymore. You know, you have Jordan Love in Green Bay for probably another year, but if he again doesn't show you what he's doing, you have that. You have, you know, the Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo is only there for, there are so many teams. And that's why I said the recipe for the quarterback, all the quarterbacks. And then you have these teams that need quarterbacks, and that combination there can lead to a lot of trades with teams saying, you know what, maybe we trade some of these older guys. Yeah, we're going to get younger and we're not going to be as good, but hey, you know, maybe we can fall into the top 10, the top 5, and be able to have a chance at one of these quarterbacks, you know, and or whatever it may be.
What's wild to me is, as you were kind of going through your list of things, and I'm on the NFL standings right now. I mean, you mentioned the Patriots and they're 1-4 and they're not going anywhere this year. You mentioned the Broncos and they're 1-4 and they're not going anywhere this year. The AFC North, the AFC South are absurdly competitive in mediocrity. So they're not going to trade anybody because someone's going to sneak into the playoffs. But teams like the Giants are not going to be competitive this year. The Bears, the Vikings, the Panthers, the Cardinals, they're not going to be competitive this year. So like you mentioned, they're going to need to start trying to figure out what they can do to make themselves competitive for the future, because the NFC right now is the class of the NFL.
Yeah. Listen, it's just, it comes to the point of there are certain veterans and certain teams that have players to trade. There's some of the younger teams like the, you know, the Cardinals. I don't think Buda Baker's going anywhere with him. He's even hurt right now. So, but that may be the only piece for them. A lot of these other teams, they're just so young. They don't have players that they're going to want to trade, because guys are on, you know, cheap contracts for a couple of years. Why trade?
I mean, think about it. Look at the trade that the Rams just got for Van Jefferson. And it was a total win-win for them, because he hasn't shown anything too crazy in the last couple of seasons. And they traded him away and got a 7th-round pick, a 6th-round pick. I mean, it was a complete win-win deal for them.
And the thing with Atlanta is Atlanta goes and they get another, you know, another guy, another receiver. They might be able to catch a ball. Yeah, they said they need someone, a slot receiver position, everything. But
they need a quarterback.
Yeah, well, again, they're another one too. I didn't mention them. But no, it's going to be interesting. I am very intrigued. I think it's going to be very busy, but it should be fun. And also, this weekend, we will be traveling with Philly Sports Trips, the bus trip up to MetLife to see the Jets and the Eagles. The Washington trip that we are going to be doing as well, if you're in the Lehigh Valley area and you want to sign up for that trip, there are no more upper level seats left in that, only the lower corner bowl section is left. It's $3.99 for the trip. Of course, is all inclusive, everything. You get the bus there, back, get the ticket, all the food, the tailgate, the drinks, everything is included in that price. It's an absolute awesome time.
It was a good time.
You get to, you know, hang with Hollis, and he'll be there. And then for the Washington game, it's going to be Hollis and Jason Avon, I believe. So some former Eagles there to, you know, talk with, stuff like that. Some awesome stuff. Great stuff. A lot of great Eagles fans there. A lot of very familiar fans you see all over the internet, social media, and everything. They'll be there too. So it's just a great time. It's a fun time. If you can't do it with us this year, I'm sure next year we're going to pair up with Philly Sports Trips again and do one of the trips, or maybe a couple trips. But definitely keep your eye out if you are interested. If you have any questions, you can always message me. I can always give you information, everything with that. But hey, it should be a fun time. I'm excited. I can't wait. Hopefully Eagles come out 6-0 and make the weekend great. But with that, we're just going to finish with the two words that we always love to say. Go Birds. Go
Birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This your boy, Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Bird.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.